As I am a visiting priest, I hope it'll be all right if we're brief for the sermon today. Usually that's appreciated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. For we read in the epistle for today's Mass, "For he that would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil. Let his lips be refrained so that they may speak no deceit." What does St. Peter urge you and I today? He's urging us in a special way to make sure that we have unanimity of mind. That is to say that we, in our minds, speak as though we have but one spirit as all Catholics. He urges you and I to have compassion, which is but to say that we share in the sufferings of those who are beside us. What does that mean but to say that you and I actually have to have a relationship with those who are in the pews beside us? That we have to come to know each other so that we might share one another's burdens as the scriptures teach us. Again, St. Peter, our first pope, reminds you and I that we are to be lovers of fraternity, coming together, being merciful and modest, making sure that the whole of our being speak but one message. That is to say, where he ends this passage, that we speak not but Christ. He says, "Hallow the Lord Christ within your hearts." And if it begins there within our hearts, it means that it radiates into the fullness of all of our actions here within this world. Not merely limited to the way in which we dress our bodies, but in the way in which we dress our actions so that everything serves the one cause of preaching our Lord Jesus Christ, he who is crucified, that we all might find life, bringing forth that ministry of reconciliation to draw all men unto our Lord Christ, here offered in the Mass. Again, he urges you and I something which is very difficult and speaks against what our natural inclinations as human beings are, which is to not do evil when we ourselves are met with evil. To not speak words of attack when we ourselves receive blows. This is very difficult. Our Lord speaks within the gospel, seeking that we would moderate one particular aspect of our persons. You recall what that was. What does he say? He says that you and I here, in this particular passage of the gospel, he reminds us that we, in every which way, ought to make sure that we restrain anger. It is easy enough for you and I to say, "I do not kill, therefore I must be perfect. That I do not violate these things in gross ways, so I must be off to a good start." And we think ourselves well for having not gone the full distance of where it leads. I myself have spent the last 6 years ministering unto men who are in the prisons, almost all of whom come to the chapel are guilty of this particular sin, that is to say, of murder. And every single one of those men who are there recognize that they are imperfect. And because of that, they know the steps. They've had many years. Some of them will spend the entirety of their lives behind bars, realizing all those various steps which they took, which ultimately led unto that end. They know themselves not to be perfect. And because of this, they have the very beginnings, the first step toward holiness. You and I must not think ourselves to have achieved any state of perfection just because we have not gone the full distance. In fact, St. Paul reminds you and I that we should not see ourselves as something great just because we have not gone so far as to take another person's life, or like he, to have held the coats of those who stone the martyrs who follow Christ. What our Lord urges you and I to do here, in line with what our first pope urges us within his own lettering to us, is to make sure that we take a careful examination of our souls. He says that unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and that of the Pharisees, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Remember what our Lord says. He said that broad is that way and large is that gate that leads unto destruction, and a great many are they who follow into it. But it is straight and it is narrow, and small be that gate that leads to eternal life. He says few souls even find that way, much less have the strength to persevere. What our Lord turns you and I to today is to examine those things which lead you and I unto sin, and not to consider us ourselves as having some greatness just because we do not do the great things which the world looks down and which others see to be so offensive, but rather to examine the ways in which we give way to frustrations, the ways in which we tear against one another that ultimately do lead to that great sin, and they're just as bad even if we don't go the full length. When St. Peter urges us in his reading, saying to make sure that we have unanimity of mind, that we have compassion with one another, lovers of fraternity, be merciful and modest, when he says that we are ones as Christians who should not return evil for evil, he is urging us to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. But what is that one thing, that one most important thing, which so easily and greatly has the ability to destroy all these things which St. Peter speaks about? If you have your scriptures before you, you need not guess. He speaks of it in the very next part. He speaks of loose lips. Loose lips, brothers and sisters. Loose lips, not only do they sink ships, but loose lips destroy souls. When we do not place a guard over our own lips, we become the destruction of our brothers rather than building up of them. When we feel that we can speak freely, we find ourselves in so many places where the scriptures speak. What does it say? The scriptures say that when words are many, sin is not far off. Hence the reason why I wish this sermon to be very short. For this is the difficulty even of the preacher. Where words are many, not only is sin very near, but also heresy follows shortly thereafterwards. Brothers and sisters, our Lord calls you and I to put a guard over our lips, to make sure that we do not destroy our brothers and sisters. St. James speaks of this so beautifully in a passage of his writing there at the very end of the New Testament. He speaks of the tongue. And though I forgot to write down the exact passage here today, what do you find that he says there? He speaks there of how man and how he is able to tame all sorts of things, bringing every beast under his own control, taming it for his own good. But there is one creature which man has failed to tame. What is that creature? Is the creature of the tongue. The creature of the tongue. He says, from the tongue does all sorts of evil and arise all sorts of evils which come against man. It's from the tongue of man. He says that it is this instrument itself, that of the tongue, which sets off entire forests to be lit ablaze. He says that the tongue itself, does St. James, reminds you and I that this tongue shoots forth often from Christians, from Catholics, to be one that comes forth a fount of blessing and of cursing. And says, it shall not be so among you, dear brethren. The tongue is a very powerful thing. You and I, brothers and sisters, each and every time we meet, should be asking ourselves the question, for what purpose am I here to open my mouth? What is about to proceed from here? How should I use this thing to build up the person who is next to me? Holy Writ, Holy Scripture tells you and I that this particular tongue has the ability to set all sorts of plans in motion and to do great good at the same moment to do grave evil. Before we begin any gathering, one of the prayers which I've been taught to pray since my youth is to quote a particular scripture. And that is to say, Lord, let us speak the words that we ought to hear. Let us speak words in this gathering that might build one another up. Words that will strengthen my brother and not lead him unto evil. When we begin to say a prayer like this, before we begin to engage in any converse, before we step out of the car in order to come to a gathering, before we go into a house and to bless that place with our own presence, to speak good there, then what happens is that we invoke God's help to put a curb upon our tongues and to make sure that every word which passes from our mouth may be a sweet sounding before our Lord, so too as the choir works to prepare great words for our liturgy, that God's word may be spoken for. Let us ask our Lord that in these things in which we do, that a curb may truly be placed over our tongue, so that in all ways we may be able to be those who build up life and bring strength to those who are around us. There are two ways which I propose to you that we begin to prepare ourselves during this month of July in order to go forward. We often have a movement within our own souls that causes us to go off and quickly speak evil. And so what we have to do is do two types of preparation. One would be a remote preparation, and the other would be a proximate preparation. The remote preparation is what we do long in advance so that we have those things necessary to be able to speak the good and to make sure that we refrain from speaking evil. Those which are the proximate means that in those moments where we feel that burning inside of us, that we know something of lashing might come forth from us, that we do to restrain, that we might speak only that which is good when we are already lit aflame within our souls. Here are the two elements. First, we will begin with the proximate, and then we will move to the remote. The proximate avenue for being able to do so when you feel that movement within you, when you've been slighted, when you feel somebody is frustrated with you, when you feel that somebody has lashed out at you in some way, here's a word from the fathers of the church that allow you and I to be able to go forward to speak those things and to make sure that we take under our possession everything that would come out of our tongues. This is the month of the precious blood, is it not? Yesterday was the feast day of the precious blood. And so one of the things which the fathers remind you and I, that the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ possesses all power of heaven and earth, that even a slight wound, as the fathers talk about, even the blood which emanated from our blessed Lord from the moment of his circumcision would have been enough to save all mankind. But our Lord chose to spill it all forth. And so there is great power in the blood wherever it is spilled, wherever it is invoked. And so that is what you and I should do, particularly during this month when we find those fires of concupiscence burning within our own passions that need to be restrained so that words of cursing do not emanate even if we are cursed back. To say simply within those moments, O precious blood, wash over me. O precious blood, wash over me. O precious blood of my Lord Jesus Christ, wash over me. And when you do that and you invoke in that way, how could any sin or any evil remain when that blood of great mercy gushes over the whole of the person? When we invoke the precious blood within this moment and open ourselves up to great healing within that moment, even the tongue, which is not able to be restrained by all persons in all manner throughout all centuries, can be brought into complete submission unto Christ, washed in the stain of his most precious blood, to invoke his precious blood in this way. When the great fathers of the church write about that particular instance, when our Lord was to be laid, out upon that cross, they said to him, the ancients did of Israel, they said, let his blood be upon us and be upon our children and upon our children's children. So too you and I, meditating upon this great gift of the most precious blood, should ask the same thing down upon us. When we know that we ourselves struggle in these ways against concupiscence, when we know that our children have difficulty in guarding themselves in what they speak and when they take in, when we know that there is great discord among believers and within our own town, within our families, to pray that same thing, yes, may this blood be poured over me, maybe poured over my children, and maybe it poured over my own children's children. Parents, grandparents, even great-grandparents, this is something which you must do in order to sanctify your families and to bring healing so that what our first Pope speaks about here might also be the blessing which is poured out upon them. And what about a remote protection for guarding our souls from all these urgings of concupiscence, particularly those which destroy fraternity and fidelity among brethren, which should not be the case among believers? What it takes is a great act of you and I, day by day, coming to know the mind of Christ through our scriptural reading, through pouring ourselves into our faith, and beyond that, to make of ourselves a gift of surrender to God. Where do all these things come from? They come from in the heart. And in the heart, when we feel that we are slighted because we think that we are greater in some sort of way or fashion, these things begin to tear at who we are. And so, because we want to defend who we are, thinking of ourselves greater, we take offense and then lash out. The way in which you and I can begin to have a guard over our souls and begin to put all of our being in surrender to God, who is our most merciful Savior, to surrender everything unto him, including our own selfish pride, including our errant passions, and everything else that lies within us. So to make an act of surrender. Many of you know the prayer of surrender of Don Delindo. I see some of you nodding even as I speak about this. That is a beautiful way of laying ourselves down before the Lord and accepting whatever it is that he wills within our lives so that it may prove to the purification of our souls and the building up of the full of the kingdom of God to be as our Lord spoke within the Gospels and as he shouted to us all month long last in the month of the Sacred Heart. As we said, Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make my heart like unto thine own most sacred heart. To do that beautiful act of surrender. The most important part being is not the various prayers that Don Delindo has given for those 9 days of novena, but rather the 10 times when we repeat over and over again, Lord Jesus, I surrender myself to you. Take care of everything. You place whatever your primary fault is, whatever that struggle that you're having within your life, whatever that movement of concupiscence that called you the day before to fall again and again and again. And you know what it is because it's the very same thing that caused you to fall the day before that, and the day before that, and the day before that. And you say, Lord Jesus, I surrender myself to you. Just take care of everything, particularly placing that particular vice before him. And day after day and moment after moment, surrender after surrender. And as you make that a form of your life through that remote participation in what accepting whatever it is that God wants for you, trusting that he makes all things great and new for your good, even if in the moment it seems for your ill, then you begin to make progress within the spiritual life. Our blessed Lord desires you and I to be perfect emissaries of his great goodness, and you and I make a good and worthy preparation for it when we call down this act of surrender in advance to become more and more like Christ in his most sacred heart, meek and humble in this way. And as well as when we, in the moment when that flames of concupiscence rise up within us, when we call upon the most precious gift that you and I have within the great gifts that God has given us upon the cross and renews for us on this altar, which we are about to experience. That is to say, O precious blood, wash over me. O precious blood, wash over me. O precious blood of my Lord Jesus Christ, wash over me. And when you and I make those same movements, even that which St. James himself, the great apostle, the first to give his life for Christ among that great apostolic band, so zealous was he of following Christ, even that one thing which he thought impossible for human beings can do, which indeed it is for you and I, as we know, and our Lord speaks within the gospel, yes, for men this is impossible, but for God all things are possible, especially when they are sprinkled with his precious blood, which speaks out more eloquently than that of the innocent Abel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.